Greetings in the name of the Lord. We have been studying over a period of time many, many studies in the book of Hebrews, this epistle of Hebrews. And I have noted before, and I want to note it again for you today, this is one of four great doctrinal books in the New Testament. Now, someone else may think of another great doctrinal book, so I don't want to contradict this. But I note that these four books, John and Romans and Ephesians and Hebrews, are the four great doctrinal books of the New Testament. Now, I want to emphasize again and again, every part of the Bible is important for us, whether it's history in the Old Testament, whether it's poetry in the Psalms and the Proverbs and other books, whether it's prophecy predicting the coming of the Lord Jesus and so forth, whether it, in the New Testament it has to do with salvation or whether it has to do with the Christian life or whatever. Every part of the Bible is important for us. Every part of the Bible is God's holy word, and only His word can be believed. Many people who may be listening today to me are following the teachings of man. And this is very, very dangerous, because the teachings of man too often contradict the teachings of God. God's word is found in His holy word. And whenever people are following false teaching, I beg them, I urge them to get back into the word of God itself, to leave their false teaching and get back into the word of God. So people come to my door with books. Of course, I don't let them in my house because they're false teachers. But I beg them, study the Word of God. In other words, you're lost in your sins, in your false teaching, and study the Word of God. And many people are very religious. Countless people right here on Guam and in the United States and in the Philippines and in other countries are very, very religious. They go to church faithfully. They do everything the leaders of their church tells them to do. Unfortunately, much of what they believe is not found in the Word of God. And if it's not found there, it's false teaching. If it's not confirmed by the Word of God, it's false teaching. And so when we pray to other people, when we rely upon ceremonies and sacraments and so forth in the church itself, when we listen merely to the teachings of man and the teachings that have been built up through the centuries by man, then we are far from the Word of God. And I would beg you, if you're very religious, and I say this respectfully of you, I'm not looking down on you in any way, but I would beg you to come to the Word of God and to come into the Word of God deeply and to follow it and to believe it with all your heart and then to put aside the teachings of man. Now, in this book that we've been studying, this book of Hebrews, the Epistle of Hebrews, we've been studying Christ as a perfect answer to our needs. He's perfect in His nature. He's perfect in the rest He makes possible. He's perfect in His eternal priesthood. He's perfect in the way He protects us against apostasy, against going astray. He is perfect as a fulfillment of Melchizedek, who was a type of Christ in the Old Testament. And then the last section we studied was chapter 8, verse 1 to chapter 10, verse 39. He is also perfect in the eternal covenant He established and guarantees for mankind. Chapter 8, verse 1 to chapter 10, verse 39. And now today, we're beginning a new section of Scripture. We're going to be studying from chapter 11, verses 1 to 40. And I suspect it's going to take us several lessons to go through this passage of Scripture, because it's teaching us that He is perfect in the approach to Him He now offers us through faith. And there are many historical examples given in this chapter. It's a very famous chapter. Some of you have memorized parts of this passage, in fact. I know I have, from various parts of chapter 11. And so He is perfect in this approach, and it's important we understand that the Old Testament people and New Testament people were saved by faith. So whether it was the man like Noah, or a man like Abraham, or Isaac, or Jacob, or whether it was Moses, whether it was the people of Israel living under the law, they still had to have faith that their works were not going to save them, that the law could not save them, that their hundreds of thousands, maybe millions of sacrifices they offered every year were not going to save them. They were merely a promise and a picture of the coming Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who would someday come as their Messiah. And so the Old Testament teaching, beginning with the law itself and going far back beyond the law to the time of Abraham and others, The Old Testament teaching is pointing toward the coming of the Lord Jesus himself. And so we need to study this, and we need to study it very, very carefully. The fact that he has now given us this eternal approach to him through faith. Now let's begin this, and let's think back just for a few moments in our thinking. Back to passages like Genesis chapters 12 to 15, where Moses is called, where Abraham, not Moses, Moses did not yet live, not for many generations, but where Abraham is called by God to leave his father's house and to go out and trust in God, go out in faith, and go down to Canaan land in the south. Now at this time, Moses had come from Ur of the Chaldees, clear over to the place called Haran. Haran would be far to the north of Palestine. Ur of the Chaldees would be in another direction altogether, to the north and over to the east. But he had come from there with his family, and he had come down to Haran. And there in Haran, he's living in his father's home. And there in Haran, now God calls him to leave that place by faith and to go to a land that God was going to give him. So we see this again in chapter 15, verse 6, where God gives him many, many, many promises concerning that land. And then we see in chapter 22, where he offers his own son in complete obedience. He didn't actually offer him, but he was willing to offer him, and he prepared to offer him until God stopped him. He prepared to offer his own son before God as obedience to God, complete faith in the Lord, in other words. And then we note in the New Testament, and I want to take these introductions before we actually get into the passage. In Romans chapters 3, verse 18, to the end of chapter 7, we see again that this faith is emphasized. We're going to see this again and again and again, going from chapter 3, verse 18, clear through the end of chapter 7. We're going to see that this faith is emphasized. And how the Lord Jesus came to make possible that by faith we could be saved. And then in the book of Galatians, again and again, this thing is stressed. For instance, Galatians 3, 3 to 14, verses 22 to 29 in Galatians 3, Galatians 3, 21 to 31. You see it again in Ephesians and many, many other books where faith is emphasized. Faith is the only means of salvation. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 to 10. We've often quoted verses 8 and 9. For by grace you are saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And so again and again, faith is emphasized as a means of salvation. And of course, faith rests upon the grace of God, the unmerited favor of God. Favor I cannot earn, favor I do not deserve, but it's poured out to me if I will come to him by faith and simply trust it, simply accept it. It is a gift of God, and I have to accept this gift. I don't earn it. It's just a gift to me, but I have to accept it. I have to take the clear steps which are necessary. Now, we notice again, as we come into this section of Scripture, chapter 11, and we'll be spending several more lessons on this section. But we note again and again that these are examples of faith in men who did not have much knowledge. They had very little knowledge, perhaps, of exactly who and what the Lord Jesus would be. But they had faith to look ahead to eternity, in other words, and faith to look ahead to the time when their sacrifices would be taken away and the one sacrifice of Christ would replace them. And as their sacrifices, whether of Noah or Abraham or whoever it might be, would not save them from their sins, but they were a picture of someone who was to come. And even though they didn't fully know everything about him, they knew enough to know that someday he would come. And they were looking forward by faith to have an eternal life through him. Not simply the promised land that God was promising to Abraham, the land of Canaan, but the eternal home that God was promising him. And so this book of Hebrews now is going to emphasize this in this entire chapter, verses 1 to 40 of chapter 11. Now, we'll just barely begin this right now. And then we're going to look into this, and we'll pick it up in the next lesson. First of all, we see the importance and the implications of this book, and not only this book, but this chapter, the chapter dealing with faith, the importance and implications of these examples of faith in this chapter are very important to us. They teach us something concerning our own faith. Now, I want to emphasize again and again, we have the complete revealed truth. We don't lack any knowledge whatsoever. We praise God that we have come after the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, there are no questions in our minds exactly what will he look like and what will he be and what will he do and so forth. We know everything about him, everything we need to know, we know about the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to say again and again that these men did not have such perfect knowledge of him, but they had enough knowledge to act by faith concerning him. And this is very important for us to understand. How tremendous his faith is, and what an example this faith would be to us today who trust him by faith. How important this faith would be for us, that we ourselves have access to this faith. And this faith is an example and an encouragement to us. Now, we note again the limited and light teaching of these Old Testament men, and yet their strong faith in his coming and sacrificial work is our example today. We also note the clear picture first given in Genesis 3:15 and later demonstrated in the sacrifices of Abel, the son of Adam, and of the coming Savior and so forth. And I want to go back to that passage again in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. Just turn with me to that passage very, very quickly. And let's go back to that passage again. Genesis chapter 3 now. And we're going to look at this passage very, very briefly. Genesis chapter 3, verse 15 has this to say, where God said to Adam, I will put enmity between thee and the woman and between thy seed. No, he didn't say this to Adam. He said this to the snake, to Satan, in other words. Not to Adam, but to Satan. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Now, this clearly speaks of the coming of the Lord Jesus himself, how Satan himself would tempt him, and then through evil people, Satan would have him crucified on the cross, but how the Lord Jesus, in his sacrifice on the cross, would destroy the power of Satan and would bruise his heel, in other words, and would take away his power. And so this passage is the first reference to the coming of the Lord Jesus as our Savior from sin. It's the very first reference concerning this. And this is a very important passage because the truth was even revealed to Adam and Eve after they had sinned. In other words, there is salvation in the coming Savior. Now, we do not actually read this, but we do know that they wore the skins of animals. And we believe very clearly that beginning with Adam and Eve, sacrifices were first offered. And then they taught these to their children and their children to the coming generations. The sacrifices were offered, and we believe this to be true concerning Adam and Eve, that they themselves, realizing their sinful, hopeless, lost condition, began to offer sacrifices, and these sacrifices were a picture of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we see this in Adam and Eve. Now, we also note the faithfulness in this section of Scripture. We're just introducing this passage to you now. We also note the faithfulness from generation to generation of those who loved and sought after God in offering blood sacrifices as a picture and reminder of his coming final sacrifice. Many of these people who lived, who are mentioned here, are not people under the law of Moses. Moses is not mentioned till verse 23. The time of Moses and the giving of the Old Testament law is not mentioned to verse 23. But from 1 to 22, he's talking about people who lived before that time and how they, by faith, look to him. Now, they were not under the law of Moses. They were not under these hundreds of regulations. They were simply walking in obedience to God and walking by faith before him. And as I have said, they did not have all of the knowledge which Moses would have had, or the later generations after Moses would have, or the generations in the time of the coming of Christ would have. But nevertheless, they walked by faith according to the knowledge they did have. So we notice the faithfulness from generation to generation of those who loved and sought after God. by their blood sacrifices, by their obedience to God, by their following Him with all their heart. We also note that as these Old Testament men and women walked and trusted and remained faithful in their devotion to God, they are also, again, our perfect examples to us of faith. Sometimes we feel, as we study this chapter of Scripture, we feel ashamed that our faith is so weak. We feel ashamed that we don't follow Him more completely. We feel ashamed that we fail Him so often, when these men were so faithful to Him. We need to take them as examples and be encouraged with the help of the Holy Spirit in our lives to go on in faithful obedience to Him. We also note, as we come into this passage now, we're just taking this as a bit of introduction to chapter 11. We note that the key to understanding them is that they relied entirely on faith in winning their own approval and their acceptance from God, and not on the basis of any works that they might present to God to merit His salvation. We're going to notice as we study each of these men, especially men like Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Moses, even as we study these men, we could go on to Elijah, the great prophet from 1 Kings chapter 1 to 18 and 19 and so forth. But we notice in the lives of these men, they were not perfect men. Their reliance upon God and upon His salvation was entirely due to faith. They were not perfect. They did sometimes fail, even as we fail in our Christian lives. Once we have trusted the Lord as our Savior, we too will sometimes fail. But as these men failed, they still had faith to believe that they were accepted by God, even though they might have failed and then repented of their failures and so forth. But they still had faith to believe that they were accepted by God through their faith. And so this is very important for us to understand. I need to bring this lesson to a close, but I want to urge you again and again and again. If you have never really gone through the door and trusted the Lord Jesus as your Savior from sin, as your only means of salvation, if you're depending upon other people to whom you pray, if you're depending upon other things that you might do, our baptism in our church, the sacraments in your church, or upon the teachings of your church and so forth. If you're dependent upon any other person or any other thing to take you to heaven, you're not going to go there. In other words, no matter how much you pray or how much you hope to escape from this imaginary place called purgatory, there is no such place taught in the Word of God. Either you're saved when you die or you're not saved. Either you've trusted Jesus alone or you haven't trusted Him. And so you're either going to go to heaven or to hell someday. Be judged by God. There is no place in between called purgatory, and it's not taught at all in the Word of God. So it's my prayer that you will trust Him by faith and be saved. And if you're a Christian, you will follow Him by faith and walk faithfully before Him. May God help you, each one.